If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 18, I'll begin reading in verse number 18, read through verse number 27. So if you have your Bibles, we'd encourage you to follow along with us as we read together. The Bible said, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Ye lacketh one thing. He said, Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When he had heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. And Lord, I do pray now that you would help us. Lord, I pray that you'd guide and direct and give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And I pray, Lord, that you give me the liberty of speech today as I stand here and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us today to listen, to be attentive, and allow God to work in our life. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. As we come to this story, it's quite familiar. If you've read your Bible any time at all, you've remembered reading the story of what is called the rich young ruler. This rich young ruler, he sought to see Jesus. He came to him for some help. And if he would have taken the advice and did what was told to do, it could have changed his life. But as you'll see at the end of the story, he goes away very sorrowful because of what he had been told. I believe today this man illustrates a very real problem in modern Christianity. I'm convinced today that so many people in the world are like him today. Many, they come to church, they hear the sermons, and yet they leave here today understanding that they have not had a radical change in their life. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was reminded this week as I talked to another pastor, and he was reminding me, and of course we were talking in general, but he said, you know, the Bible said, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet we find many people in our churches today, I believe, and again, I'm not judging, and I don't know, I never could judge. Salvation is basically between you and God, and there's nobody else that can know that. Only you can give an account of that. But I'm convinced today in our churches, and I've often preached this, that many times we have a lot of baptized sinners that have never truly been born again, that have never possessed eternal life in any way because there's not been a change. They fill a pew, but they themselves are empty. They go through the motions of Christianity. And even some live outwardly clean lives, but they've not converted or given a new life in Jesus Christ. They're just like this man in our text today. This man had a lot in his favor, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm excited as I look at the Word of God and see, but there's some things that it says about this man. Overall, up until the fact that he rejects doing what Christ told him to do and what he needed to do, what we do find is a man that literally had everything in the world going for him. And I want to share with you, before we get into the message this morning, some of the things that he did have going for him. If you would, I want you to look with me. Well, if you go back and look in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, you don't have to turn there. Again, to the Gospels, we have different accounts that are given by different people. But we find in Mark 10, 17, the Bible said that this man came running to Jesus. So we see, first of all, this man was enthusiastic about getting to Jesus. I think today how great it is, and we ought to be excited about getting to the house of God, to getting to God, and hearing what God has to say for us. Many times, sometimes I believe we come to church, and yet as we come, we really do not come to because we're excited about being here. We come because we feel like we have to or we need to or whatever it might be. But people who possess a visible enthusiasm for the Lord, this man was enthusiastic. He wanted to get to Jesus. And listen, this is a good characteristic. Boy, today we ought to be enthusiastic about coming to the house of God. We ought to be enthusiastic about reading the Word of God. We ought to be enthusiastic about finding out the truth of what God has to say. But we live in a generation of people, and you know what I'm talking about today. Thank God for you that are here today. This is a good attendance, but listen, today the majority of people are not excited about God or the things of God. The second thing we notice, and this too comes from the book of Mark, is he was a humble man. The Bible says, in Mark 10 and verse 17, when he came, he kneeled to him. Now, I want you to understand, this man was a man of power. He was a man of position. He was a man of great wealth. He had possessions. He had everything there was. But yet, when he came to the Lord Jesus, he bowed himself to the ground. He kneeled. He humbled himself. So he was enthusiastic and he was humble. And I think how important it is today that we let foolish pride sometimes hinder us from doing what God would have us to do. I think today, a lot of times, the older a person gets, we find that they say the statistics of people getting saved are even less and less as we live in this world. And the older you get, but you know today, listen, it's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of humbling ourselves and understanding. And this man, listen, what's sad about it, he had all the characteristics of getting help that day. He came enthusiastically, he came humbly, and listen to this. Look at verse number 18. He came discerning. He said in verse number 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, today, it's a wonderful thing. He looked at Jesus and saw something different about him. He didn't know nearly enough about him, but he knew something was worth asking, and yet he may have known the price of, he did not understand the price of what Christ had done, but yet he came in a discerning spirit to ask how he could get eternal life. I wonder this morning how many people came to church this morning with this on your mind: how shall I obtain eternal life? How shall I get saved? How shall I know that I go to heaven? We come to church. You want the preacher to preach a message that would encourage your heart. And from time to time, I try to preach all different kind of messages. I preach messages on encouragement. I preach messages on Christian living and all the things. But listen, the ultimate key is Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to get people saved by the grace of God. And here's a man. He discerned something different about Jesus Christ. And he came. And, of course, he asked him how he might do it. We find he was spiritually minded. He didn't ask about more money. He didn't ask how to gain more influence. He didn't ask about how much more power he could have. But he might ask that he might have eternal life. You know, so many people today don't give any thought to spiritual matters. The Bible said that we're to love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I know today we live in a society where we've got to make ends meet and we've got to do what we need to do to get by and to have the things that we need. But the most important thing is our spiritual well-being and understanding the truth of what God has to say. And I believe this man, listen, he was a good man. And no doubt if there was anybody good enough, if there was anybody good enough to go to heaven, this man surely seemed to be good enough. He had all the characteristics that you're looking for. Second of all, we find he was morally clean. Well, you say, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 21. If you remember in verse 20, Jesus said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." I'm talking to you today about a young man that was a good man. I tell you, he was enthusiastic. He was humble. He was spiritually minded. He literally was looking for that which was right. And he answered. He was faithful. And he said, "Man, I've not done any of those things." In fact, he would have been the perfect neighbor. You could have trusted him to look out for your house while you were on vacation. He was just an all-around super great guy. But you know, today it's easy to be clean externally, but still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced today there's a lot of good people that live a great life. They live a clean life. They live a life that is pleasing to God. And yet, there's somewhere along the line where they've never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he was successful. The Bible said the man was a hard worker. You said, how you know that? Well, he had made a lot of money. According to the Word of God, the Bible said he was rich, and he was a young ruler. So at an early age, he had had quite a bit of success. But today, in fact, one seems to think that success is the mark of what would get us to heaven. I'm all about success, and I want to see young people succeed. I want to see people in the church succeed in whatever it is they set out to do. But friends, success. You can have all the success in the world, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll still die in your sins and spend eternity separated from God. And I want you this morning to look with me, and it seems kind of strange, you already have the title, but how to miss salvation. You know, I live and preach the Word of God for people to get saved. I believe today that the Bible said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe today that Jesus died for the sins of the world in order that we might be saved. But it kind of bothers me today that many times people miss this matter of salvation. There's a verse in the Bible that really, really I struggle. I don't struggle with it, but it makes me sad when I read it. It talks about narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. There was two fellows that passed away this week. One was younger than I and one just a little bit older, and I knew them. Isn't it something when you know somebody and they pass away, it has a little bit more of an impact, especially when they're close to your age. And really the age they were at was not an old age, and it was not the age that you'd be expecting someone to die. But yet I'm reminded that death comes to all ages of people. It comes at any time. It comes unexpectedly sometimes. And yet I believe today that what we need to understand the importance of being ready and understanding the truth that is set before us. And today, this man is such a picture of a great person. He had everything going for him. In fact, somebody said, well, just because he had all that going for him, so that means that qualified him to be saved. Oh, no. Listen, everybody qualifies to be saved. The Bible said anybody and whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But I want to show you some things this morning that I hope will be a help to you and an encouragement. The first thing we want you to know is how to miss salvation is, first of all, to be wrong about the Savior. Look in verse number 18. The Bible said, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Now this young man was interested in eternity. Many people today are not interested in eternity. They don't think about eternity, but I promise you, eternity is coming. I always said and used to say, people, you're going to live forever if you get saved. I've come to the conclusion, according to the Word of God, you're going to live forever whether you get saved or not. The difference being, you're going to live forever in a place called heaven if you get saved, a place of peace, a place where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more disappointment. Or if you die in your sins, you're going to die in a place called hell, and you're going to go there where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we find this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, interested in asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, when he does that, Jesus gives him a quite interesting answer, if you will. In other words, he looks down at him and he answers this. And if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see this in verse 19. He said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Somebody said, well, why in the world would you say that? Because he is God. And truly, he is God. But that rich young ruler that came to him that day did not recognize him as being God. He did not look upon him as being God. And so Jesus was teaching him a lesson about the truth that the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think as he came, he called him and he said the words, good master. The word good master means teacher. He never thought that he was talking to God. He didn't understand. He knew there was something different about him. He knew there seemed to be that he had the answer. But when he came to him, he came looking at him as being a teacher that could tell him how to get eternal life. But the first thing I want you to notice is the Lord Jesus wanted to make sure that he understood that nobody is good. You know, today, no matter how good we are, the Lord made it crystal clear there's no human being good enough to go to heaven. I don't care who we are, what born, listen, we're all, I like to say the song, it said, only a sinner saved by grace. I tell you today, everybody in this building, if you're saved, know the Lord Jesus Christ. You came the same way that all of us did. We came because we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask Him to come into our heart and save us. But listen, folks, the Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. He said all our righteousness are as filthy rags and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Yet we find here He didn't recognize who He was. He called Him good master, which means teacher. This man saw Him as a human teacher. He didn't see Him as God in the flesh. And I tell you, you'll miss salvation if you don't know who Jesus is. I like the little chorus the kids sing, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. It's my job and the job of the Sunday school teachers, club workers, and everybody, junior church, and all that we do here, is we want people to understand who Jesus is. Friend, I want you to know today, many people today see Him as a great teacher. Somebody said, well, Jesus was a good man, and He came to help us live a better life. They see Him as being a good example to be followed. They think that they can live clean lives, pray, and be a good people, and God will just accept them. And I know people today that many times I've talked to them, and they said, you know, listen, if anybody's going to go to heaven, my mother will, or my sister will, or I will, because I don't sin. Friend, the Bible said, and this rich man, he told him, he said, sir, I want you to know, first of all, that you're a sinner. You better recognize who He is, because Jesus was and is the Son of God. The Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only Savior. Do you know today, do people talk about all different religions? And I'm not so much today that we can sit here and talk about it in any particular denomination. Friend, in every denomination, there's sinners, there's people. If they're people, they're sinners, and they need to be saved. And I believe there's people in every denomination that maybe still are lost, but yet, thank God today, if we confess our sin, God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and save our soul. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation, listen, in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want you to know today, friend, the only way to get to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way of salvation. How far more? That's just a few. I could mention a lot of other things. I could tell you, but listen, one thing he missed. He missed the fact that he did not know who Jesus is. And friend, the very first thing we must understand today, who Jesus is. Understand that he is the Savior of the world, and he's the provider of our salvation, and he's the only one that can save our soul and give us eternal life. But the rich man didn't recognize who he was. So the first thing that'll help you, you don't want to help you, but first thing that'll be the key to missing salvation would be to be wrong about the Savior. But second of all, to be wrong about salvation. Notice again in verse number 18, he says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You see what I just read? Can you pick out that? He said, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Friend, I want you to know that there's nothing anybody can do to inherit eternal life except what Jesus Christ has already done. Any man that believes that salvation can be earned, he wants eternal life, but it's wrong about how salvation works. This preacher that I mentioned a while ago, I was talking to, he's of a different persuasion, different denomination, and basically he made this statement to me, which we're not in agreement on. He said, if you don't go to church, you ain't going to heaven. And I got news for anybody today. If you read your Bible, God said He gives us eternal life. And I believe you ought to go to church. I believe today if you don't go to church, I believe if you're saved, you ought to have a hunger to be in the house of God. And I believe there's something wrong if you don't. And I think you might ought to do some research and just find out, maybe am I saved or am I not saved. But listen to me, if going to church would get you to heaven, there'd be a bunch of people today that would be lost in their sin. But I believe today with all my heart, yes, there's some good people that have gotten saved. They don't go like they ought to. I can just get into it. I'm not going to get into it this morning. But I know that God chastens those who are not obedient to Him. But friend, there's nothing you can do. Go to church, be baptized, be faithful every Sunday, you know, witness. You can do all those things and still die in your sin and go to hell. And the rich young ruler says, what can I do that I might inherit salvation? Do you know today salvation is a gift of God? We need to understand today, he said, that, and I've already quoted it, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Galatians 2:16, the first part, knowing that a man, listen to me, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know what I'm convinced of today? I'm convinced that there's a lot of people that have missed salvation. And the reason they missed it, because they wanted to make it harder than it really was. Do you know salvation is one of the most easiest things that you have to do? I mean, all you got to do is just accept what Christ has already done. It's not earned by our efforts. It's a gift of God. Man can't do enough works. Friend, I remember reading about D.L. Moody on a train going to a meeting, and this man began to argue with him about the matter of losing your salvation. And finally, Moody just wrote down on a piece of paper, and he said, sir, the difference between your religion and my religion, your religion is spelled D-O. He said, my religion is spelled D-O-N. And, D-O-N-E. Forgot that. I didn't go too far to school. But anyway, D-O-N-E. Done. And friend, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid every drop of His blood. And His blood is sufficient to save every soul of anybody that'll come. Unfortunately, this man, he couldn't see it. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason man can't earn salvation, you know why man can't earn salvation? Because he's totally and completely depraved. In the Garden of Eden, we know Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible said, wherefore is one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. He said, for that all have sinned. Everything that man touches is defiled by sin. The best he can produce is garbage in the eyes of God. And I mentioned that verse a while ago, Isaiah 64:6. All our righteous are as filthy rags, new fate as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind are taking us away. When Jesus died on the cross, you remember what he said? He said, it is finished. And I tell you, what did he mean, it is finished? He meant that he had shed his blood and given us eternal life in order that we might be saved by the grace of God. And we need to understand today that we cannot save ourselves, because we're nothing more than a bunch of sinners. And the only one that can forgive us of our sin, there's no human being on this earth, whether he be a priest or a preacher or a prophet or whatever he might call himself, friend, he can pray for you, he can encourage you, but he cannot forgive you of your sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sin. So he was wrong. I tell you, when I was studying this, I got kind of excited. I tell you, I wanted him to get saved. I really did, because, man, that's the kind of people we're looking for, right? We want people enthusiastic. We want people that's humble. We want people that's successful. We want people that are on fire for God. And I believe this man could have been, but he missed it. He missed it. He missed it. He was wrong about the Savior, wrong about salvation. And then verse 18 through 21, he was wrong about sin. He said in verse number 19, and Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good. No, not one. That is God. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And here's what he said. He said, all these things have I kept. Now, understand that when he said this, we find it, basically, he said, I've kept all these things. So we find that Jesus mentioned about five of the Ten Commandments in the law. He just mentioned five. And the guy, and when he said them all, he said, oh, I've done all that. I've kept all that. But he missed it. Friend, the fact is, today, all have sinned. We got to understand today that it's obvious answer when you misses the whole point of the Lord's Word. He said, all of these have I kept from thy youth. But what about the other five? I remember years ago, and I need to revisit it, I preached a message on the Ten Commandments. And it's quite possible that everybody in this building has transgressed in every one of those Ten Commandments. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I know, no. No, listen to me. You go back, and a lot of it has to do with your heart and your mind and anything you do. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'm telling you, it's really hard. And thank God we don't have to keep them. Amen. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Because I tell you, I'm not capable of keeping them. I'm not able. You're not able. And listen, he said, I've kept all these things. So basically, apparently, this young man had not violated any of those commandments. But notice, if you would, Jesus didn't mention the other five. But while he may have kept those five, he'd been guilty of breaking the others. Look at verse 22 through 23. Then when Jesus heard these things, he said unto thee, thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now I know what you're thinking. You said, well, he's requiring something. No, I think the Lord was testing him. If you look at verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. And when Jesus saw it, he was very sorrowful. Friend, a person that really genuinely wants to get saved, thank God we live in a great country. God's blessed us with so much. I tell you, we was just talking a while ago before church a little bit about having air conditioning. And I tell you, back in the day, there was days people didn't have all the conveniences that we do. But I tell you what, if we want to give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to say, Lord, here am I. Take me. Take all of me. Take everything I own, everything I have. And Lord, I want to give it to you in order that you might, that I might be a blessing to others. But here's the problem. When the young man was sorrowful over his riches, it revealed, I believe, the fact that he had at least committed two of the commandments that he had broken. The first one says in Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The issue wasn't the money. The issue wasn't giving away the money. The issue was it had become a god in his life. And he, even though he wanted eternal life, even though he wanted to go to heaven, he was hanging on to that money. And by the way, the Bible said that money is the root of all evil. Or it doesn't say money is the root of evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. Thank God today for the way God's provided for us here at this church and continues to provide. What a blessing. And God allows us many times to have wealth that we probably don't even deserve. But yet he gives it to us because he knows many times that he can trust us with what we have. And I'm telling you, the richest people in the world that are saved by the grace of God are the people that give and give and give. And God continues to give and give to give and give to them. Because you can never outgive God. So there's one thing we know for sure. He had sinned because the Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then the 10th commandment said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. When this young man chooses his wealth and possessions over the Lord Jesus Christ, he reveals to us two important insights into his heart. He indicates his wealth was his God. He was a moral man. He was a religious man. He was not an adulterer. He didn't realize it until Jesus exposed his heart. And he said, if you want eternal life, what you need to do is sell what you have and give to the poor. And immediately the man was saddened. The next thing we know is his actions also suggest that he was greedy. He had a greedy spirit. He was a good man. He was enthusiastic. He had everything you could imagine. He had risen in wealth and power, perhaps without stepping on others. He had achieved his wealth honestly, as a good man would. But yet, when it all came down to it, he loved his money more than he loved God. I'll say a word here, and it might be shocking to some of you, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe we're to love God more than anybody or anything. I love my wife. I love my son, daughter-in-law, grandchildren. I love them dearly. And I would give anything. I mean, I would take their place anytime because I love them that much. But friend, I love the Lord Jesus more than I do them. You said, well, I can't believe you say that. No, for you see, when you love him the way y'all love him, it'll help you to love those that you need to love the way y'all love them. It'll make all the difference in the world. And I come back to that today, and here's a man, and listen, the whole thing was Jesus was revealing to him. He had missed it about the Savior. He didn't even recognize that he was God. He missed it about salvation. He thought it was something he had to do, some way that he could merit his own salvation. But I believe that he was guilty of breaking these commandments, and I believe he realized it when Jesus spoke those words of what he told him that he needed to do. The first step in salvation is coming to terms that you're a sinner. I've never had it happen a lot, but I have had it happen where I ask somebody if they believe they was a sinner. Can't get them saved till I convince them they're lost. But I have had some people tell me, just a couple of times, I'd say, do you know if you're saved? Or do you know you're a sinner? They said, preacher, I'm not a sinner. I've never stole, never cheated, never lied. Well, excuse me, but I think you just lied. Friend, you've sinned somewhere along the line. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't help you today if you don't recognize that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all born in this world, bound and headed for an awful place called hell. And I tell you today, until we come to the realization and understanding we're a sinner, we can't be saved. But we must grasp it today. And this man, he could not understand. He thought he was all good. You'll never be in the position to get saved until you put yourself in the position to be a lost sinner that needs a Savior. If you've never sinned this morning, and I don't believe there's anybody in here that qualifies for that, but if you think you've never sinned before, then you don't need a Savior. Well, the Bible said Jesus died for the whole world. The Spirit of God regenerates the dead spirit and causes the sinner to come. I tell you today, I love to preach. I love to see, and we don't see it like we'd like to, but I sure wish more people, I wish we could see it like it used to be. I wish we could see more people just let go and let God come into their heart. Come forward at the invitation. See people saved. Wouldn't that be glorious? It'd be a wonderful thing. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're not doing too good a job. If you was doing a better job, more people be saved. That may be true. I probably am not doing as good a job as I need to do. But let me tell you something. It's not me that saves the sinner. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who draws them to himself. And friend, when I preach, if God speaks to your heart, that's not me. That's God tugging at your heart and telling you the importance of being saved by the grace of God. Jesus called this process drawing. He said in John 6:44, he said he draws the sinner to himself. That word draw in the Greek, it means to drag or to drag the sinner to himself. Come to the realization and understanding who we are. When the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and calls you to himself, all you got to do is admit you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Only then can you be saved. Friend, here's a man. He missed it. He missed who Savior was. He missed salvation. He was wrong about sin. He didn't understand. Listen, without these three things right here disqualify you if you don't recognize who Jesus is. If you don't understand, the way to salvation is to trust in what he did. And then thirdly, to miss the fact that we're all sinners. Boy, I love going to the nursing home, and I know some of them older people probably get a little shocked, but I said, hey, and I do it at the YDC. I said, look, we're here tonight from Victory Baptist Church, but I want you to know tonight, all of us are sinners. And I tell you, the only way we're going to get to heaven is by trusting Christ to forgive us of our sin. And then lastly, I want you to see to be wrong about your stuff. In in the chapter 18, verse 22. Now, when Jesus heard him say, "All these things have I kept from my youth." When Jesus heard them things, here's what he said. He said, "Thou lackest one thing." What he meant was, is what you're lacking is what you love. And what you love may keep you from trusting in what you need. And he said, there's one thing that thou lackest. This man had it all. Literally, he had everything you could imagine going for him, but yet he said, there's one thing thou lackest. Verse 24 and 20 through 27, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, and he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? For it's easier for the camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And he that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Sometimes people interpret this a little bit different or wrong. They say, so it's wrong to be rich? No. Number one, if you're saved, you're rich. Richness is not measured by how much money you got in the bank. However, it's wonderful if God blesses us materially. And if somebody is blessed bountifully, I love to see folks that have done well. I've got a couple of friends, and they've succeeded very well in life. I go to visit them, and man, I'm amazed. And what I'm amazed about is the good part of it. I get to partake part of it sometime when I go see them and to enjoy some of the things that they have. But yet, God's not saying that they're going to die and go to hell just simply because they have money. But he's saying perhaps the love of money keeps many rich people. And by the way, to be honest with you, we do find people in churches that are wealthy from time to time, and God's blessed, and what a wonderful thing. But I tell you, the majority of the time, the billionaires and the millionaires, you don't hear them talking about church. You don't hear them talking about God or the house of God. You know why? Because they think they don't need God. They think they have everything. Listen, I this deal with Rush Limbaugh, I listen to him sometime, but one thing gets me, I hear him on the radio, and he says, "I got enough money, I can pay for my own insurance, and I can do all this and I can do that." He can, and that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, the same God that gave it to him could take it away from him just like that. And friend, then, who are you going to turn to? Then, who's going to meet your need? I'm simply saying this man literally revealed his heart. Up until this point, he was a prime suspect for getting born again. He was headed in the right direction. He had everything there was to get there. But wait a minute. The very thing that I cannot do is I cannot give that which is mine. I cannot give it up. Mark 8, 35 through 37. So whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? I've witnessed to people in the years past, and I've told them they needed to be saved. Not many, but occasionally. I think of one man in particular that I grew up near as a young boy. And I remember later on when I got right with God, I went back to him and I tried to share the gospel with him. And he laughed. He made a joke about it. And I remember one day I went to see him, and he said, "You see them clothes over there?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what I'm going to be buried in. I already got them out." And I called his name, and I said, "Sir," I said, "do you know for sure when you die that you're going to heaven? Do you know you're saved?" And he made jokes. "Oh, yeah, I'm saved. God saved me in the foxholes in the war." Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. Many times your stuff may keep you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about possessions. Friend, I believe today that God's day ought to be a hallowed day. It ought to be a respected day. And I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with folks taking vacation. And I surely encourage people, when you're on vacation, find somewhere to go to church. I always do myself. And I I'd encourage you to. But there may be times you can't, and I understand that. But friend, to treat the house of God is just a secondary place, and just every now and then, your heart is not really. I'm going to tell you something. My heart's right here at Victory Baptist Church. I get asked, not a lot, so don't take it wrong. I don't get asked to preach a lot, but I turn down quite a few invitations to preach out on Sunday morning because my place is right here ministering to people that need to hear the Word of God. And yet today, here's a man, it was all about his stuff. It's all about his possessions. It's all that he had. And yet the fact of it is, he lost it all. And because of that, he'll spend eternity in hell. Now, there's some things in life that it don't hurt you to miss. It won't hurt for you to miss an opera or a ballet or maybe a root canal. It won't hurt too bad if you miss that. You can get it fixed later, right? But I tell you, if you miss salvation, you'll spend eternity separated from God forever. My friend, I don't know. Just seemed, and I'm going to tell you something. It's kind of an amazing thing. And my wife can vouch for me. In my old age, I do dumb things. And last night, I had my message all ready to preach. And I deleted it. And there wasn't no getting it back. And friend, God led me to this passage of Scripture. And this is what God wanted me to preach. And I don't know why. But it may be today that somebody here has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And friend, today you want to know how to gain eternal life. You want to trust God. You want to do what's right. But somehow or another, you just can't let go and let God have His way. Believe me, this was not my intention this morning. But obviously it was God's. And it may be today that God spoke to your heart. But there's two chances of going to heaven. You may die before you reach the age of accountability. Thank God for those little children in the nursery. They're so precious. And let me tell you something. If they die, they haven't got to the point of understanding yet. They don't know at all what it's all about. They're going to heaven. They're going to be with Jesus forever. But if you've made it past that stage, and believe me, all of you in here have that I can see. If you've reached it past that stage, the only way for you to get to heaven is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon His name. Friend, don't let pride stop you this morning. Oh, I tell you, here was a man, he wasn't worried about pride. He wasn't worried, obviously, he wasn't even worried about what anybody thought. He ran and he kneeled down. He said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But yet he went away sorrowful, because he was not willing to give up that which he had. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today. Again, Father, we don't understand all things, but we do know that your word is true. And Father, today I pray that you would help us. I pray that you'd guide and direct us and give us wisdom and strength and help. Lord, today I don't know the status and I don't know the story behind anyone that's here today. I know our faithful people, and I believe many, many here today are saved and know Jesus as their Savior. But friend, there may be some today that have never come to that point. Father, today, please draw them. I can't do it. I could stand here and beg all day. But Lord, just help them to let go and just walk down this aisle and by faith today put their faith and trust in you. Be saved by the grace of God. And Father, we'll thank you for saving our soul. Thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.